So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, chapter number 1, and text number 33 and 34. So there's a different procedure today. The class, we won't explain anything, just a slok, an explanation, and then the other two people want to speak about Srila Prabhupada as well. So it's a very short class, yeah? Oh, beloved son, Maharaja Parikshit, when the bride and bridegroom were ready to start, consells, bugles, drums, and kettle drums all vibrated in concert for their auspicious departure. Text 34. Pati pragrahinam kansam abhyasasa sariravat asyastvatam astamo garbo hantam vyabase abudam. While Kansa, controlling the reins of the horses, was driving the chariot along the way, an embodied voice addressed him, "You foolish rascal, the eighth child of the woman you are carrying will kill you." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. The woman spoke of the Ashtamo Garbha, referring to the eighth pregnancy, but did not clearly say whether the child was to be a son or a daughter. Even if Kansa were to see that an eighth child of Devaki was a daughter, he should have no doubt that the eighth child was to kill him. According to the Vishnukosh dictionary, the word garbha means embryo and also arbhak or child. Kansa was affectionate toward his sister, and therefore he had become the chariot driver to carry her and his brother-in-law to their home. The demigods, however, did not want Kansa to be affectionate toward Devaki, and therefore, from an unseen position, they encouraged Kansa to offend her. Moreover, the six sons of Marichi had been cursed to take birth from the womb of Devaki, and upon being killed by Kansa, they would be delivered. When Devaki understood that Kansa would be killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who would appear from her womb, she felt great joy. The word Vedase is also significant because it indicates that the ominous vibration condemned Kansa for acting just like a beast of burden by carrying his enemy's mother. Om Agyanti Minadasya Gyananjan Salakya Chakshur Un Mirtamina Tasme Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Ena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadapi Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guruho Sri Yudapata Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishyamacham Sri Rupam Sagarajatam Sahagan Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijan Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padana Sahagan Lalita Sri Visakha Dinashya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchan Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhyasya Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So it's a very nice verse, but we don't have time to explain everything. Or you can repeat the sloka either. It's not even, because time of shortage, and this is specially meant for Srila Prabhupada Remembrance Day, these 3-4 days. So we have to talk about Srila Prabhupada as well. Who was Srila Prabhupada? At the age of 71, when everyone retired all over the world and they enjoy the life, Srila Prabhupada had this mission to establish Krishna consciousness all over the world. And thus we started. At the age of 71, in 1966, Srila Prabhupada went to America. He didn't have money to spend either for the aeroplane ticket or thing. He went by steam. And then he had a heart attack as well. And still he carried on. And then he established this mission. Why? For the human being. Not for only Indians or anyone else. All the human beings all over the world, his mission is everyone should become Sarve Sukhino Bhavantu. Everyone should become happy. And this is the one photograph I'll show you. This is the first Srila Prabhupada in America, 1966. This is the first Kirtan started in Tomkinson Square Park. You know? So just imagine single-handed man, how he is doing miracle. And not only that, he established the cow protection, Gosala, the school for the children, everything is wonderfully. For 10,000 years, we don't have any problem. Imagine 10,000 years. I don't know how many times we have to come back again, you know. But if you want to stay with Srila Prabhupada, always stay with ISKCON and movement. It's so. One day, what happened that some big man came to see Srila Prabhupada in America. And then he started organizing, there shouldn't be any discrimination. And Srila Prabhupada explained just one word, that we don't have any discrimination. We count equal. Women, child, everyone, we engage everyone in Krishna's activity. And then the issue came about the cow killing, you know, and Srila Prabhupada said that we don't discriminate, but only one thing, there is pious activity and there is impious activity. There we discriminate. The human being should involve always in pious activity, not impious activity. And Srila Prabhupada established these four basic principles. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating and no gambling. So Srila Prabhupada mentioned at that time that the cow is giving you the milk. She is like a mother. How can you kill a mother, your own mother? Just if you think, you know, deeply, this is make common sense, you know. That cow is giving right from the child, little child, he drink cow's milk or mother milk. And the cow is so important in society. So he says, what sort of civilization is this? This is not discrimination. That you take the cow's milk when you need it, and when she is old, you send her to slaughterhouse. What sort of civilization is this? So Srila Prabhupada wanted to train the whole society, Varnasram, Brahman, Kshatri, Vaishan, Sudra. Whole society should be divided. Brahman, Kshatri, Vaishan, Sudra. Like in our own body, there is a head, there is a belly, the hands and the legs. Different organ, different work. But we need four of them. We need all of them. Not just one section. Not just a Brahmin. We need everyone. And that is why we respect everyone. And we want the whole world to join this movement so that everyone become happy. And that is our mission. Everyone should recite the sloka, learn the sloka, read the book Srila Prabhupada. Just imagine one single man what he did. So how many of us now here? If we take this mission, Srila Prabhupada mission, which he like by heart, and if we take in our heart and spread, just imagine what there will be change in the whole world. And that we need. Just four basic principles and Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And then you always, when someone is progressed, then he come and learn everything. They take the devotee association. He says, sadhu sangha, sarva sastra kaya, lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi haya. All the yogic siddhi, anima, lagima, prapti, prakamya, everything included in Harinam Sankirtan. You don't have to work hard for separately. Everything is including here. So I must stop now because there is other activity going on, and I will invite some staff from the kitchen, I think. Kitchen people want to speak? So they want to speak about. Thank you very much, and Hare Krishna. Sorry for the short class, but Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So, when I think about Srila Prabhupada, the first very natural feeling appearing in my heart is extreme gratitude. And just right now, I'm very grateful to Prabhu because during this short class, this gratitude came to the kind of vibration. I'm strongly resonating, especially realizing this feeling of gratitude, like Prabhupada was telling about killing cows, that we take milk from the cow. And then without any gratitude, I mean, in Western civilization, they send cows to the slaughterhouses. So it was happy realization for myself that my heart has a little bit changed thanks to Srila Prabhupada. So this is just very recent point. And it may sound a bit egoistically, but my life is very happy and interesting because of Hare Krishna movement that I have joined. If I can imagine how my life would may look like in other case, I mean, it makes me even more grateful. And just thinking about Prabhupada yesterday, I reminded the stage of mind I was in before joining or being interested with Krishna consciousness. So at that time I was studying chemistry in Technical University, and I was completely frustrated with what they was teaching me there. The reason was that I was expecting, of course it was completely unreasonable expectation, but I was hopeful that I will get some knowledge how things really happen in the universe. And then I found out that what they was teaching there, it was just more or less complicated procedures how to deal with the certain engineering problems. At that time I started to read Krishna book, and I remember first statement which captured my heart was that all our loving needs can be fulfilled if we give our love only to Krishna. It was like beginning of my life adventure with Krishna consciousness, and recalling it after years, it was some spiritual inspiration, because right now, having some knowledge about Vedas and different subjects, maybe not deeply, but about quite some of subjects, I'm just satisfied to see the goal of all this science. It's something quite opposite to that. I mean, or other words, that desire which I had before joining to get some knowledge about how things happen in the universe was like fulfilled much above my expectations. I need to admit that at that time I may not have any idea about whole spiritual knowledge and other kinds of personal knowledge which I'm in touch a little bit now. And another very interesting adventure about Srila Prabhupada in my life was that during some period I started to ask many questions. I mean, like question about about perfection of Prabhupada, and what I discovered later on, that what I may think at that time, it was like a mistake on or imperfection, finally it came out as something wonderful. Like I remember, okay, two examples. Once I thought that actually maybe Śrīla Prabhupāda is not my favorite author because of his style of writing. I remember I used to use expression that statements of Prabhupāda are like square ones, means like very exact ones. So then I was thinking I would prefer rather something going to the depth of the subject within one sentence or just finally I realized that this literature is not only for frustrated intellectualists, but for everyone, for simple people. And amazingly enough, after that, whenever I heard any quotation from Śrīla Prabhupāda's purports, I discovered, I mean, sometimes really surprising and deep truth in his words, even simple words, which previously I used to consider like too simple for me, so to say. So this is one example. Then the other example was that I used to think that about one statement of Śrīla Prabhupāda, who said once to his disciple that when you start the sentence from "I think," then you should finish it in the closet or in the toilet. It may be not exact quotation because I'm translating back from translation, and my distaste for this statement roots it being overused with ISKCON authorities, I mean, or temple authorities, who wanted to say just surrender, don't think. So at one point I was clear with the conclusion that not everything I think is just mental stool. So what happened then and made me quite humble that I needed to agree with Prabhupada. It was that I was on the training of non-violent communication, and there was a class where a person giving the class was sharing his experience with psychiatric hospitals, and he said that that experience was that some patients of those hospitals was easier to teach them how to express their feelings and their needs straightforward rather than doctors. Then according to that lecture, I asked the question, who actually needs more empathy, as empathy was introduced as therapeutic factor. So who needs then more empathy? I mean, more. Whether the patient who may think I am Napoleon or I am Jesus, or a doctor who thinks I am a doctor. So I got just very simple and enlightening answer that everybody needs empathy. So then it makes me distasteful about my need to compare, to count who needs more, who is better, who is worse, whether doctor or a patient of psychiatric hospital. I mean, this habit to compare became like something very unwanted within myself. So then I reminded the statement of Śrīla Prabhupāda, because this is the area of thinking. We think, oh, this is better, this is worse. So now I prefer rather to feel, to relate to the people with heart rather than brain, rather than intellect. It's much more joyful and much more enlivening to the heart, obviously. Okay, so this realization made me really humble, so I would like to invite next speaker, Hare Krishna.
Timrandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksul Umildam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Abheta Gadadara Shivasari Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This morning I received a special blessing from the Kaveri Babu, who is our temple security. So as soon as you meet him, within 1 minute he'll make you laugh. There's no doubt about it. And we know that whoever takes birth in the material world, they seek for happiness. Anandamaya Vyasat. So that's why even there is a song that they don't worry and be happy. But in order to not to worry, they rely on bank balance and insurance. That's why my Guru Maharaj traveled extensively, globally, and he noticed one thing. Wherever he goes, in the biggest town, there are biggest two buildings. One is bank, one is the other is insurance company. So they're thriving on the people's fear and then anxiety. But Prabhupada gave us a different format how to be happy. It's quite simple. As you all know, chant and be happy. But in order to chant, it takes some intelligence. And also, happiness from chanting is something different than other people experience. It's called sukham atyantikam yattat. So, other happiness, there's always side effect because so much competition. And also other happiness cannot guarantee in afterlife. So, sukham atyantikam yattat. This happiness, there is no side effect and guaranteed to afterlife also. And also atyantikam is a transcendental happiness. In order to have that, putti graham atindriyam. So you need to have transcendental intelligence. Once you develop intelligence, you will get into chanting. Chanting includes reading Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and also Harinam. And once you reach that, Krishna says that Yasmin Stito. Once you reach that, and then Na Dukena Guru Napi Vichalate. Na dukhena gurunapi. We cannot avoid dukkha in this life. But guru, heavy, sometimes the heavy, heavy misery comes. But once you reach this platform of chanting, then gurunapi vichalate. Even if the heaviest misery, vichalate, na vichalate, you won't be shaken. Prabhupada translated the vichalate as becomes shaken. So you'll never get shaken. So when you look at Prabhupada's early days, there are so many challenges. He wrote so many letters to different leaders in Gaudiya Math. They hardly, they answered simply say, no, we can't help you. And then Prabhupada wrote a letter to even the lady who sponsored his trip to America. She even responded to Prabhupada's letter. Prabhupada said that you become history in India. Not only India, you'll become a history because you'll be the first lady who opened a Hindu temple in New York. So why don't you take this opportunity? But she didn't respond at all. But and yet, Prabhupada was never shaken. And then later on, Prabhupada, recently I read on the email that Sasrabhu Maharaj is explaining about sometimes Prabhupada said something unexpected. So Prabhupada said that now I have so many disciples, but these disciples give me headache. So, and yet, Prabhupada never deviated from his position, no matter what happened. I guess one of the biggest challenges Prabhupada had was that his own disciple tried to worship him as Krishna. So that the kind of a completely deviation of philosophy. And this was very, very kind of a heavy things for him to deal with it. And yet he wasn't kind of frustrated. He, through that incident, he changed the direction of preaching and he opened the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan. So any challenge, any opportunity, he took for Krishna. And ultimately, what I see in Prabhupada is that Prabhupada is a personification of the verses of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And then one verse in the Bhagavad Gita says that Machitta Salva Dulgani Mapparishadat Tarishasi. So Krishna never said you will not have any distress, you will not have any trouble. Krishna said you will have trouble. But Machitta Salva Dulgani, all that troubles in your life, Salva Dulgani, but Maprasada Tarishasi. Through my grace, you will get over it. Which means any trouble, any difficulties, you face it, and then you get over it. How? By Krishna's grace. Maprasada. Prasadam. So this is my humble realization regarding Prabhupada. So I'd like to invite Saurabh Prabhu. No, no. Okay. 아, 예, 구루 맞다, 아, 맞다, 아, 이렇게. 이렇게.
In our class, we have been learning about Srila Prabhupada, and this is about what I think, like how loyal he is and things. I think Srila Prabhupada was very brave because he was all alone in New York and he didn't know anyone. If I was alone in Tompkins Square Park, I would be very nervous, but he was very responsible and just sat there and chanted. Srila Prabhupada was so loyal to his guru that he just went on the Jal Dutta, and he wasn't scared because he knew that if he chanted to Krishna with respect, he would protect him. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I can't beat that one. One of the most difficult things I feel is when you get asked to speak about Prabhupada, you completely get bewildered and not know where to start. So just today morning, I was listening to a class by Prabhupada, and I thought he gave me the lines there. So the first thing he said while he was speaking, this catchy line that caught my mind was, people have become so rubbish that they have lost their self-interest. So never heard Prabhupada says rascal and so many things, but here he says people have become so rubbish that they have lost their self-interest. And then he says, they don't even know what is wrong with becoming a tree. They've lost their interest so much that they don't even know what's wrong with becoming a tree. And that reminded me of a story of Prabhupada. He was in Paris, he was giving class, and he was saying that if you think you are God, then you are dog. And he made that very bold statement. So one of the people, probably a local, got up and said, Swamiji, what is wrong with becoming a dog? So Prabhupada said, you have my full blessings to become a dog. So this is, we've lost our self-interest, or we had at least lost self-interest, as Prabhuji was saying. I fear to think what I would have been if I did not join the Hare Krishna movement. So I fear to think what I would have become if I did not go to Gurukul and I did not become a devotee either. Not that I am, but practicing. And then another thing that really I feel hits home for me personally is a discussion I heard with Kishore Prabhu. He was saying how once they were on a morning walk with Prabhupada, and there was a hippie sleeping on the bench, and for some reason the discussion came to how you have to have great fortune to become a devotee of Krishna, and how much, you know, yoginam api sarvesham, and you know, because of previous life, the pious activities, they accumulate and then you get a chance to become a devotee. So then Kishore Prabhu asked Prabhupada, we must have all done a lot of pious activities to have so much, the sukriti, so much good fortune to join the movement of Prabhupada. And then Srila Prabhupada became quiet, he turned around and he said to him, I think he lifted his cane and he said, I have made your good fortune. So completely dismissing the fact that we may have been yogis in the Himalayas, but it is only because of Prabhupada. And that's, I think, the principle of preaching. That devotee, people out there, whether they have their Sukriti or not, just by looking at a devotee, by interacting with a devotee, they immediately, the amount of Sukriti you get is much more than performing any activity, you know. In the Puranas, there's a famous story of, there's a famous story of Narada Muni. He went to a person who was a very sinful man. And I think there's a discussion, and Narada Muni is told, you know, we've tried so much to make this person think of Krishna, think of God. We've all been defeated, but you're such a good preacher. You're a world-class preacher internationally. So why don't you try to preach? So then Narada Muni goes to this sinful person and tries to tell him about Krishna in many different ways, but he is a brick wall and he just won't take anything. So then Narada Muni says to him, do you know that after this life, after sinful life, you'll have to go to hell? And then he was like, I don't care about hell. So then Narada Muni says, okay, just do one favor for me. He says, when you do go to Yamaraj, when you meet Yamaraj, just ask him this one question. So he says, okay, I can do that much. What do you want? He says, just ask Yamaraj, what is the benefit of a little association with a pure devotee? That's it. Just ask him that question. So then this person, very soon, lo and behold, he dies. He goes to Yamaraj. And Yamaraj says, okay, so any final wish? And he says, yeah, I just have one question before you send me to the burning. What's the benefit of one moment's association with a pure devotee? Then Yamaraj, he starts to think and he's bewildered. He doesn't know what to answer to this person. So he says, look, I'll take you to Brahma. He's my senior manager. And he can probably give us an answer. So Brahma, Yamaraj and the sinful man, Yamaraj and the sinful man, they go to Brahma. And, you know, Brahma is also surprised. He never sees Yamaraj, but he turns up and he says, this person has a very good question and I couldn't answer him. What is the benefit of the association with a pure devotee? So then Brahma gets bewildered as well. He says, how do I answer this question? You know, four heads. He says, my intelligence is not enough. We have to go to Lord Shiva. He's my senior manager. So then they all go. Brahma, the sinful person, and Yamaraj, they go to Shiva. And they ask Shiva the same question. Shiva also, he's not definite in what answer he can give. So then he says, okay, look, let's go to Vishnu. So Brahma, Shiva, Yamaraj and the sinful man, they all go to Lord Vishnu and they ask him this question. So what is the benefit of associating with a pure devotee? And then Lord Vishnu tells them, look, Yamaraj has come to ask, Brahma has come to ask, Lord Shiva himself has come to ask. So the answer is, Shiva, you go back to your abode. Brahma, you go back to your abode. Yamaraj, you go back to your abode. And leave this person here. And he can, once he's come to Vaikuntha, there is no return. So that's the benefit of associating with a pure devotee. So I think that's the greatest gift Prabhupada, at least in my little realization, Prabhupada has given us, given the world, this opportunity to associate with pure devotees. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.